Romans chapter 13, and we'll start in verse 1. Let every soul be in subjection to the higher power. For there is no power but of Yahweh. And the powers that be are ordained of Yahweh. Therefore, he that resists the power withstands the orders of Yahweh. And they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. Now, I was talking to Matt a little while ago about this same subject. See, because, you know, we were talking about the law of Yahweh and Yahweh's law superseding man's law. But Yahweh's also told us to keep man's law as long as it doesn't violate Yahweh's law. Okay? So whether it's obeying the speed limit or some of the other man-made laws, if they don't violate Yahweh's commandments, we must keep them. See? We're judged according to how we live. Now, verse 1 says, let every soul be in subjection to the higher power. For there is no power but of Yahweh. In other words, Yahweh allows President Obama to be the President of the United States. He allows Kim to be the dictator of North Korea. Just like he allows Benjamin Netanyahu to be the leader of Israel. But ultimately, Yahweh is in control. And we know here in Daniel, it talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was one that became full of himself because he was over pretty much the kingdoms of the world. He ruled the known kingdom. Not the whole world, but most of it. Okay? But Yahweh gave him that ability. And he had to be brought to his knees and spend 7 years as like a beast in the wilderness to gain that understanding. And sometimes this is what Yahweh has to do to people. He has to break them down so that they understand that he is in control. Even out here in the world, doesn't matter who it is, and sometimes there are people who have been placed over you, like that judge that the scripture spoke about, who didn't care about Yahweh or man, but the woman was going to wear him out unless he dealt with what she wanted him to do, which was hear her cause and adjudicate. She wanted him to give her a judgment. And he went to her and wore him down until she received the judgment. Now, Yahweh's not that type of judge. We don't have to wear him down. All we have to do is go to him in prayer. He knows what's best for us. And if we're going to be in the kingdom, we have to do what's right to get to that point. Now, if we're going off the track, he'll send somebody to get us back on the track, whether it's through the word, whether it's through a prophet, or whether it's through judgment. I preached that not long ago. See, he's going to convict you by the Holy Spirit because we all have the Holy Spirit, those who've been baptized. Now, if the Holy Spirit can't convict you, your heart might be hardened a bit because of something that's going on in your life. And sometimes Satan does that. He'll throw you a curve, and, you know, not everybody can hit the curveball. So, you know, you kind of go off the path for a bit. But then he might send you a prophet. That prophet might be in the form of myself. It might be in the form of one of your sisters in the faith, one of your brothers, one of your children. It could even be a stranger or a neighbor that comes to you and say, you know what? The Almighty gave me a word for you, and this is it. You know, and then they go about their business. If that word is for you, it's from Yahweh, you'll know. See, because Yahweh says it'll come to pass. See? If the person gave you a word and it doesn't come to pass, it's a false prophet. So, you know, you're not afraid of them. You don't have to be worried about it. But you don't want to get to that third step. You don't want judgment to fall in your life because you're not hearing the word. You're not applying what Yahweh wants you to do, and you're not submitting to his direction so that you can be in the kingdom. And this is where submission to the kingdom comes in. We must submit, okay, to the powers that be. Now, in Romans chapter 13 that we're reading here, it says, therefore, in verse 2, he that resists the power withstands the ordinance of Yahweh. And you know what? This can be as simple as, you know, someone saying, I hear you, I see in the scriptures, but I don't believe I have to keep the seventh day Sabbath because I was raised in the church and I keep the Sabbath. It's Sunday for me. You understand? Now, we know because we've proven it to ourselves that it hasn't changed because Yahweh doesn't change. The Sabbath is still a Sabbath as it was a Sabbath from the beginning. Now, of course, a lot of us were raised in the church. So we went to church Sunday, but it's not the day of Yahweh. And we can prove that it's the wrong day. It's the first day of the week. It's not the seventh. The Jews have never lost sight of keeping the Sabbath day. So therefore, it's out there. Now, if you are going to be stubborn and say, you know what, Yahweh just has to show me another way because I'm reading the Bible and I still don't get it, so I'm going to keep Sunday. So then he's going to send somebody, okay, because obviously you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not there yet. But the Spirit is around you when he's calling you. It's pulling you. It's tapping on your heart. You know that the Spirit is active because of what's going on in your life. So he's pulling you. So then someone comes to you and say, okay, you have this witness that may be Sister Virginia, you know, and the person, you know, she comes to and say, Brother so-and-so, this is what Yahweh is showing me. And then they look at it. They may take some literature from her and say, okay, I'm going to study this. And then they study it, and then they still say, you know what, I'm not going there. I'm still not going there because I don't believe it. And then judgment happens in their life. Yahweh has to. And I heard this recently from one of my own kids about Yahweh having to speak to them directly, okay? And you know what? He can do it. But you don't want to be there. When Yahweh spoke to Israel, what did they tell Moses? Please, you tell us. We don't want to hear him. You understand? See, they couldn't stand to be in the presence of Yahweh because of their sinful, wicked condition. But Yahweh wants his people to be in his presence. And we have to submit ourselves to get to that point so that we can be in his presence. Because we want to be in the kingdom. As it says there in the end of chapter 2, he that withstands the ordinance of Yahweh and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. This is not something I'm making up. It's here in the Word. You can see it. They will receive justice. Now, verse 3 says, for rulers are not a test to the good one. Just like the law is not for those who are keeping it. The law, the Torah, is given for those who aren't. So they know the boundaries. So they know what they can do. They have to get to that point of submission, though, if they're going to be in the kingdom. It says, for rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And would you have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and you shall have praise from the same. And we want the praises of Yahweh? We keep the covenant. We keep the commandments. For he is a minister of Yahweh to you for good. Again, when you think about what Yahweh is doing in your life, he was what? To Eve and Adam. He gave them good. He didn't give them anything. He didn't want them to know anything evil. Just the same as what we do for our children. We don't want them practicing evil or doing anything that's contrary to the scriptures. See? So therefore, we're going to teach them the good of the law, the things that we know that are right. And that's what parents do. They're not going to teach their children lies if they know they're lying. You understand? And that's why you have to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good, because that which is good is from Yahweh. Because Yahweh is good, and He only is good. Now, verse 4, it says, "But He is a minister," in Romans 13:4, "for He is a minister of Yahweh to you for good. But if you do that which is evil, be afraid, for He does not bear the sword in vain. For He is a minister of Yahweh, an avenger for wrath to him that does evil. For this reason, you must be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, you pay tribute also, for they are ministers of Yahweh's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything save to love one another. For he that loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not commit murder." See, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to chase his wife. You understand? You're not going to commit adultery. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to kill him. You're not going to murder him. You're not going to take his life. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from him. You're not going to take the things that belong to him, nor covet the things that he has. See, because once you understand where Yahweh is and where you are, He can give you anything you desire, your heart desires. You understand? Even better or more than what your neighbor has. It's not about your neighbor except when it comes to love. We have to show love to everyone, okay? Even the unlovely, people who may mistreat us, we still have to love them. And that's the hard pill for most people to swallow. But this is what Yahshua is looking for. He wants to know when he returns, will he find the faith in the earth? See, people who are keeping this covenant, people who are showing love to their enemies. Now, in Romans chapter 13, we see how it started out, every soul being in subjection to the higher power, for there is no power but Yahweh. Every other power is in submission. It's less than Yahweh. Even Yahshua the Messiah, once he has put all enemies under his feet, he goes and turns everything over to Yahweh. You understand? But he's in control. He's overcome the world. Most of us are still struggling with it. But we have to get to that point where we've overcome the world as well. The lust of the world, the vainglory of this life. Back down in Romans 13, in verse, after you shall not steal and you shall not covet, it says, "And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Can you do that? Because we're talking about submission in the kingdom. Because we want to get to the kingdom. All of us want to be in the kingdom. And over in verse 5, it says, "For this reason you must be in subjection," or submission, "not only because of the wrath, but also the conscience sake." Now, back down and ending up in verse 10, it says, "Love works no ill to his neighbor." Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. See, so when we get to that point where we fulfill the law because we love even our enemies, then we can say we're in submission to the kingdom. We're in submission to Yahshua the Messiah. We've overcome the world. Verse 11. And this, knowing the season. And normally when you see season in the scriptures, it's talking about a modim, whether it's the Passover, whether it's Pentecost, or whether it's this time of year. The coat, Feast of Tabernacles. That already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let's get rid of anything that is not of Yahweh in our life. And let us put on the armor of light. That armor of light is love, brother. The Yahshua is the light. And he came with love to conquer this world. Verse 13, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, partying, reveling, drunkenness, being out of control. See, we can drink. But we don't get drunk, because when you don't have self-control, that's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's evident that you're one of Yahweh's people. And the people who are walking around drunk and out of control, that's evident that they're not Yahweh's people. Pretty black and white. Yeah, Noah got drunk. You know, they spoke of it. It's in the Word. Yeah. I doubt it's something that he did on a regular basis. But again, a righteous man falls 7 times. Noah was considered a righteous man. Says it in the Word. Was he subject to the kingdom of Yahweh? Absolutely. People have problems. But we have to get over them. We have to place them in Yahweh's hands and allow Yahweh to work in our lives, to correct us, to do the things necessary for us to cleanse our lives, to get rid of the sin that so easily besets most people. See, if we walk becoming as in the day, we want everybody to see what we're doing. We're not hiding anything. It says, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and jealousy. Strife and jealousy are active in people who are actually not following the Holy Spirit. They have to have some drama in their life. They have to have something that's exciting or, you know, some trouble. Police always come to their door. You understand? You know what I'm talking about. You know the people I'm talking about. But you know, those people can make a change in their life. They can stop doing what they are doing that the police keep coming to their door and take a step in the direction of, okay. And I met one of these young ladies not long ago. And she was, you had to tell me her testimony and her story, and it was rough. But she is happy. Now, of course, I witnessed to her, and I'm trying to get her, like Priscilla and Aquila spoke to Apollo. I mean, they were trying to get them to that next level. You know, there's a greater truth. There's more truth out there that you need. So, and you can't push people too hard, so I didn't try to push her. I just, you know, told her, gave her a card, some literature, you need to check out some things, and I believe it'll be a blessing to you. And I hope to hear from you. I do, and I think she'll come. But again, she's come a long way from what she told us when she was giving her witness, her testimony. Yeah. She's got some kids, and now she's a good example. Before, she would get drunk, go sleep with anybody, anytime, anywhere. Young lady, about 33, she said her life has changed 180 degrees from who she used to be. She said she's enjoying getting up in the morning, going to work. Before, she couldn't keep a job. Now she's got a job, a decent job, working at the Gap in security, and she goes every day. She's paying her rent. She's doing what she needs to do for her family. But, of course, she's not where we are, like I said. She's still using JC, but she is living what she considers a righteous life. Because she's not doing the things she did before. See, so she's 180 degrees away from it. And I commended her on, what she's doing. But like I said, I'm hoping that she calls or goes to the website, checks out the information, and gets more information so that she can get to that point where she's serving the hour. Because here it says in verse 14, but put on the sovereign Yahshua, the Messiah, and do not make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust of it. Because these lusts, see, that lust is not you in subjection to the animal. You're in the lust in subjection to your carnal self. You're an enmity against Yahweh. You become an enemy because your carnal self is fighting against that Holy Spirit. It's drawing you, trying to get you to that point so that you can submit and subject yourself to the kingdom of Yahweh. And I'm telling you, brethren, the kingdom of Yahweh is coming soon. It's coming soon. The term submission is the act or instance of submitting. The condition of having submitted. Yahweh wants his people to be in submission to his law, his covenant. And see, the major aspect of that is love. And when you look at someone, and again, everybody has somebody in their life that is like a thorn in the side, that they're having a hard time loving. But Yahweh wants you to do it. He wants you to overcome and get to that point where you can truly love that person. Because if you have, and the scriptures bear that out, someone that you kind of hate or don't really care for strongly, that says, do that person really know Yahweh? If we have a brother here on the earth that we're not loving, that we're hating, do we know Yahweh? 1 John 5, that's what it's talking about. But we're going to go over to Hebrews chapter 13 right now, and we'll start in verse 1. Hebrews 13, 1 says, let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to show love to strangers. And this is hard for people to do. I don't know that person. And you'll never get to know them unless you somewhat open up to them, right? Now, it says here, for in this manner some have entertained angels unaware, and they failed the test because they were not cordial. They did not treat that person with respect. They weren't like Abraham when the angels came. Abraham, and I doubt if he had visitors on the regular, and he probably, I'm going to take care of this. We're going to fix something for these people to eat. And, he wanted them to visit. And they did. And he fixed food for them, and they ate. Remember, because Abraham entertained those strangers. Whether he was unaware or not, he entertained angels. Verse 3, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, them that are ill-treated as being yourself also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all in the bed undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, Elohim will judge. And truly, Yahweh will judge them. Hopefully, they'll repent because something you said to them. See? The love that you may have shown them. Be free from the love of money. Content with such things as you have. For himself has said, I will in no way fail you, neither will I in any manner forsake you. Do we believe that, brother? I believe it. And I hope each one of you do as well. Yahweh will not fail you. He will not forsake you. But you have to draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Verse 6, so that with good courage we say, Yahweh is my helper, I will not fear, what shall man do to me? Remember them that have the rule over you, men that spoke to you the word of Yahweh, and considering the issue of their life, imitate their faith. Yahshua the Messiah, the same yesterday and today and forever. Yahshua showed love. He did. Even to his enemies, the Pharisees, his own flesh and blood, his family, even those that rejected him. Remember, he was placed on that torture stake for their sin as well as ours. And what did Yahshua say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we've all been in that state. You understand? We've all been there where we didn't know what we were doing. But when you draw close to Yahweh, when you go into the Word, he will open it up for you. He will show you where you're short and where your walking is not in the right direction. Verse 9, be not carried away with diverse and strange teaching, for it is good that the heart is established by grace, not by meat, in which they that occupy themselves were not profited. Now, we were talking about one of the sisters that used to worship with us in YPCC, as a matter of fact, a couple of them. This doctrine about the lunar Sabbath came on the scene. And I mean, people in a whirlwind, it took a lot of people away from the truth. When you look at some of that convoluted thinking and how they have taken the word of Yahweh, and it's very simple, okay, for them to figure out how to keep Pentecost. The word tells us, and I'll turn to it real quick, I'm going to give you this example. Because, you know, some people can hear a false prophet and just follow him. But it says here, in Leviticus 23:15, it says, and you shall count from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths. How many is 7 Sabbaths? 49. Okay, that's good. 7 times 7. All right. And it says, even to the day after the 7th Sabbath, shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meal offering to Yahweh. Now, it's pretty simple from what I can see. But with those at the lunar Sabbath, they are counting their 50 days ends up like 3 months. Like, it's more than 90, and it's probably double, maybe 100 days, the way they come out with it. Okay? And when they were trying to explain it to me, I took them to the scripture, and I said, where is that in the scripture? Oh, you have to look, because there's no evening in the Lunar Sabbath. It's all day. So you only count half of the day. That's how you get, I guess, 100. Okay? They're not counting full 24 hours of the day. But this is not what the scripture says. That's someone's interpretation. See, the scripture was pretty plain. At least I thought it was. Anybody find that this is not plain? You count 50 days, and then it's Pentecost. Okay? The day after the Sabbath. Not the day of the Sabbath, the day after. You start your count. So you start on Sunday, the first day of the week. The seventh day is going to be a Sabbath. The next seventh day is a Sabbath. So you got 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42, 49. And then the 50th day is Pentecost. Even the Jews don't do that. They keep their Pentecost in the middle of the week because they don't count it from the day after the Sabbath. Yet, that's what it says in the Word. That's what it says in the Torah. See, are we going to keep the covenant? Are we going to keep what Yahweh tells us to keep? This is the part that we're talking about, submission. Are you going to submit to the Word of Yahweh? Are you going to be in submission to the kingdom? Remember, the definition of submission is the act or instance of submitting. The condition of having submitted. Back to Hebrews chapter 13. And verse 11, it says, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore, Yahshua also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. They took him outside the gate to fulfill what was given in Leviticus. We're studying this on the prayer line in the evening. The sacrifices and how the priest, Aaron and his sons, took that blood outside the gate. Now, verse 13, let us therefore go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For we have not here an enduring city, but we seek after the city which is to come. Through him, then let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to Yahweh continually, that is, the fruit of lips, which make confession to his name, which you have to do before you come to Yahweh. You have to confess and repent of your sin. But do not forget to do good and communicate, for with such sacrifices Yahweh is well pleased. And we want to be pleasing to Yahweh. We want to overcome, and we want to be able to follow in Yahshua's footsteps. In verse 17, it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit, for they watch in behalf of your soul, as they that shall give account, that they may do this with joy and not with grief, for this were unprofitable for you. Leviticus chapter 9. Submission in the kingdom is the title. Submission in the kingdom. Starting in verse 1, and it came to pass on the eighth day. Now, this was the eighth day after the consecration. They were consecrated and his sons for 7 days. Okay? They were consecrated for 7 days. In verse 30 of chapter 8, it says, Moses took the anointing oil and of the blood which was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron, on his garments, and on his sons, and on his sons' garments with them, and sanctified Aaron, his garments, and his sons' garments with them. That was during the period of consecration, the 7 days. Now, it came to pass on the 8th day, in Leviticus 9, 1, that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said to Aaron, take a calf of the herd for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before Yahweh. And to the children of Israel you shall speak, saying, take a he-goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both a year old, without blemish, for a burnt offering, and an ox and a ram for a peace offering to sacrifice before Yahweh, and a meal offering mingled with oil. For today, Yahweh will appear to you. See, this is special. It was a special day. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tent of meeting, and all the congregation drew near and stood before Yahweh. And Moses said, this is the thing which Yahweh commanded that you shall do, and the glory of Yahweh shall appear to you. We want to see the glory of Yahweh, brother. We want to be in that kingdom. So we have to submit our lives and ourselves to Almighty Yahweh. In verse 7, Moses said to Aaron, draw near to the altar and offer your sin offering and your burnt offering and make atonement for yourself and for the people. Offer the oblation of the people and make atonement for them as Yahweh commanded. See, Yahshua is our high priest. He doesn't have to make an offering for himself. See? Just the earthly priests have to do that. Just the earthly ministers have to offer. Now, Yahshua is our offering. We don't have to kill any animal. But we still have to submit and choose our lamb, which is Yahshua the Messiah. Every year we do it once in a year. During that time, the Yitzchor service. And we accept and we offer and choose Yahshua as our Savior. Verse 8, so Aaron drew near to the altar and killed the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron presented the blood to him, and he dipped his finger in the blood and put it on the horns of the altar and poured it out at the base of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the covering from the liver of the sin offering he burnt on the altar. And as Yahweh commanded Moses, and the flesh and the skin he burnt with fire outside the camp. The rest of it, it was burnt outside the camp. Drop down to verse 18, because he did the same through 12, the goat of the sin offering. But in verse 18, he also killed the ox and the ram and the sacrifice of the peace offering, which was for the people. And Aaron's sons delivered the blood to him, and he sprinkled around on the altar, and the fat tail and that which covered the inner part, and the kidneys and the coverings of the liver. And they put the fat on the breast, and he burnt the fat on the altar. And the breast and the right thigh Aaron weighed for a wave offering before Yahweh, as Moses commanded. That was their portion for the priests. They got a portion of the offering of the people. And Aaron lifted up his hands toward the people and blessed them. And he came down from the offering, the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and the peace offering. And Moses and Aaron went into the tent of meeting and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of Yahweh appeared to all the people. And there came forth fire from before Yahweh and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat. And when all the people saw it, they shouted, and fell on their face. Because Yahweh presented himself to them. Now Aaron had a hard time because he had lost two of his sons. Actually, it came right after that. He had a hard time because he lost two of his sons. And he couldn't even mourn them. See? But he submitted. He did what Yahweh wanted him to do. Several of the prophets were asked to do some what people might consider wild things. Like Ezekiel, when he was laying on his side for a long period of time. Because that's what Yahweh told him to do. And see, people say today, oh, that man is crazy. You understand? Why is he doing that? Because he's hearing voices, and the voices telling him to do it. Hosea was told, go marry a harlot. And then name your first child this, your second child this. You understand? If Yahweh tells you to do something, are you willing to submit to what he's telling you to do? You have to prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, and make sure you're listening to the right voice. You understand? But he might ask you to do something that you're not comfortable with. You know, I'm not raised that way. I don't understand this. Yet, he's proven it to you in the Word. He's showing you, are you going to submit to the kingdom of Yahweh? Which means you might have to walk a different way than all your friends out there on the street. See? That's why a prophet is without honor in his own home, like Joshua, because the people knew him. They knew him growing up. Ain't that Joseph's son? And Miriam? Isn't his brother so-and-so and his sister so-and-so? He was without honor up in Galilee and Nazareth. But guess what? Yahweh used him to touch millions of people. But still, there's a fraction that have come to him. And the reason I say that, the 144,000 haven't been fulfilled. They haven't been sealed. All of them haven't been sealed. If so, we would be in the tribulation already. There's a procedure. Things have to happen in a certain order. Temple has to be rebuilt. Okay? These things are going to come about in a whirlwind. They're going to come fast. You'll see them happening. But guess what? Just like the world is going through this challenge with Ebola, there's going to be more challenges coming down the pipe. The next challenge might be, like I said, famine. Okay? We're good here in America. We got plenty of food. There are places, there are actual countries that have had severe famine. Malawi is one of them. The president over there, when I was there, and the elder there was telling me, you know, the brethren in this area, they don't have enough food. And the government is not giving them food so they won't starve. People are dying. Okay? That's real. They didn't have enough to eat. So therefore, what the brethren were doing, they were trying to collect to get food to that area. And one of the elders left his family and went to Mozambique, which borders their country, sold his cell phone. Because we tried to call him, and we found out when his wife came to Jali, which was one of the worship centers in Palombi District where we were worshiping. We have about 11 congregations in Malawi right now. And the majority of them are in the Palombi District. Okay? And this woman, his wife, along with the rest of the congregation, walked from where their congregation is, which is several miles, to where we were going to be. They didn't make it the first day we got there. We stayed there several days in some conditions. It was a hotel or whatever, and it was rough, but it was, you know, doing Yahweh's work. And these people, I'm telling you, faithful. They show up, they're walking. The majority of them had no shoes on. Adults as well as kids. And they came, and we had the two congregations plus another congregation come, and we had services. And we had the place packed. And the people were joyful. They were worshiping Yahweh. And they submitted to Yahweh's word. See, because their livelihood is agrarian. They grow corn. That's their main product. It gets them through the year. They eat something sort of like grits, only it's a different substance. And they eat it, they call it sinu. It's called something different in Canada. Same thing, only made a little bit different. But they use it, they don't even use, you know, forks or spoons. They use that putty-like to eat. And that's their main crop. See? So when we told them they can't plant for the sabbatical year, ask them, you know, this is what Yahweh commanded. And the elder said, are you going to submit? And the people said, yes. Yeah. If this is what Yahweh wants, this is what we're going to do. Now, that's hard. If that's how you get your food, your livelihood, because most of them didn't have jobs. And so they grow stuff to barter, to trade, or whatever, to get the other things they need. And a lot of them, if they want to travel a long distance, they'll rent a bicycle. You know? And that bicycle, I know Peter and them, when they went from there, when he first went over, they rode for 5 hours to get to the Gunda congregation. We have about 100 members over in Gunda. They have 3 different congregations in Gunda, okay, in the Colombian district. And like I said, Peter, our bishop, got on the bicycle because there's no public transportation going over there, and they rode for the 5 hours. See, that's dedication. They love Yahweh. Yet, when we're inconvenienced here, it's a problem. And we have to get ourselves in the right frame of mind because Yahweh, and this is not a game, this is very serious. What's going to come and follow? This sabbatical year is very important. And this is why we have to do it and do it right. See? Yahweh is preparing a people for him, a people who are willing to submit. And they're going to overcome. And each one of us has to be those people. We have to be an example. We have to be used for his honor and glory. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 1. And now, O you priests, we're supposed to be priests and kings in the kingdom. Now, but we can't do that unless we're in submission to Almighty God. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, says Yahweh of hosts, then I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Yes. I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Remember, Yahweh knows what's on your heart. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 tells us. He knows exactly what's on your heart. Behold, I will rebuke your seed and will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your feet, and you shall be taken away with it. See, they weren't keeping the feast for Yahweh's honor and glory. They were keeping it because it was wrote. Oh, the feast. And we have people the same. Every feast you want to be here. But are you living, keeping the commandments daily when you're not at the feast? You still have to walk in truth. You still have to submit to Yahweh. And there are people who won't miss the Feast of Tabernacles, but they'll still go back and do their dirt, do their sin. Not committing. And this is why it was so important when we had the baptism sermon this morning. It was about being baptized in the life, not the death. Even though you are baptized into the death of Yahshua the Messiah, you're baptized into eternal life. You have that choice. you have that option. Without that, you don't have the option. Now, Malachi is saying here in verse 4, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant may be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him that he might fear, and he feared me, and stood in awe of my name. Are we in awe of Yahweh's name? Do we still have that awe, brethren? Or has it become old hat? Has it become rote? Are we still in awe of the things that Yahweh does in our life? This is why we have testimony, so we can tell the people, the brethren, what Yahweh has done for us. Verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. And that's what the priests, the ministers, are supposed to do. Take the people and take them and turn them away from sin. See? Stop the sin. And that's where baptism comes in. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit so that you can walk in truth. Verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is a messenger of Yahweh, Malachi, of hosts. And you have turned aside out of the way. You have caused many to stumble in the law. And that's what's happening out there in the world. You got preachers like Creflo Dollar telling people, oh, you don't even have to keep the Big Ten. Think about it. Is he leading the people to the kingdom? No. Yeah, he's getting that dough. Right, he's getting paid. But guess what? His reward is sure. Yeah, he's going to burn unless he repents. Now, a lot of people say, well, you know what? I've been misled. I've had preachers tell me this or that, and it wasn't true. They'll be judged accordingly. But you have turned outside of the way, and you have caused many to stumble in the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not my way, but have had respect of persons in the law. And too many people do that. You know, if they're the PK, the preacher's kid, they get away with murder. They can do stuff that the rest of the kids can't do. Not happening. Yahweh's in control. And we have to submit and be in subjection to his law, his covenant. Zechariah chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 14. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, as I thought to do evil to you when your fathers provoked me to wrath. Says Yahweh of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not fear. These are the things that you shall do. Speak you, every man the truth with his neighbor. And that's keeping the covenant of not lying, the ninth commandment. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates, and let none of you devise evil in your hearts against your neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these things that I hate, says Yahweh. Now, Jerusalem, as it says in the beginning of this chapter in verse 3, shall be called a city of truth. But right now, I don't believe there's a lot of truth coming out of Jerusalem. There are a lot of people who, you know, are worshiping, following Jerusalem. But Jerusalem in itself is still a mixture. And Yahweh is going to cleanse it. He's going to deal with Jerusalem. See, because there's so much sin going on. Abortions being one of the number one things. Ezekiel chapter 7. We're dealing with a time of upheaval, the last days. And you can read this whole chapter when you get a chance. But we're not going to read the whole chapter. Starting in verse 5. In verse 5 it says, "In this manner says the sovereign Yahweh, an evil and only evil, behold, it comes. An end has come. The end has come. It awakes against you. Behold, it comes." The end is coming, brother. We need to get ourselves in submission to Almighty Yahweh's covenant, every aspect of it. Treating each other the way we're supposed to treat each other. Showing love one to another. "Your doom has come to you, O inhabitant of the land. The time has come, the day is near, a day of tumult, not of joyful shouting upon the mountain." The mountain is the government. "Now I will surely pour out my wrath upon you and accomplish my anger against you and will judge you according to your ways." Remember I talked earlier about judgment coming. See, we have to let the conviction of the Holy Spirit make us walk straight and keep the covenant. If that doesn't happen, then the prophet is going to be sent to you. And if you don't hear the prophet, judgment. And judgment is coming upon this earth. It's coming very shortly. He says, and will judge you according to your ways, and I will bring upon you all your abominations. And my eyes shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will bring upon you according to your ways. That sounds like he's judging people according to what they're doing. Oh, there are no works necessary. I hear that all the time. Yet in Revelation, it says he's judging according to your works, according to how you're living, what you're doing. And a lot of people don't believe that, you know, if I'm not keeping the Sabbath, if I'm, you know, a little short over here, if I'm not tithing correctly, I'm not doing the best I can, I'm going to be okay. That's not what the Word says. See? That's not what the Word says. Now, he says, "I will bring upon you according to your ways, and your abomination shall be in the middle of you, and you shall know that I, Yahweh, do strike. Behold, the day, behold, it comes. Your doom has gone forth. The rod has blossomed. Pride has budded. Violence has risen up into a rod of wickedness. None of them shall remain, nor of their multitude, nor of their wealth. Neither shall there be enmity among them. The time has come, the day draws near. Let not the buyer rejoice, nor the seller mourn, for wrath is upon all the multitude of it. For the seller shall not return to that which is sold, although they are yet alive, for the vision is touching the whole multitude of it. None shall return, neither shall any strengthen himself in the iniquity of his life. We got to get rid of the sin. You understand? You have to draw near to Yahweh. Keep the covenant. Be faithful in everything you do, giving honor to Yahweh first and foremost. Now, verse 14, they have blown the trumpet and have made all ready, but no one goes to the battle. For my wrath is upon all the multitude of it. The sword is outside, and the pestilence and the famine inside. He that is in the field shall die with the sword, and he that is in the city, famine and pestilence shall devour him. But those of them that escape, and shall be on the mountains like doves of the valley, all of them moaning, every one in his iniquity, his sin. All hands shall be feeble, and all knees shall be weak as water. They shall also gird themselves with sackcloth, and horror shall cover them, and shame shall be upon all faces, and baldness upon their heads. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be as an unclean thing. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of Yahweh. It doesn't matter how rich you are. Your riches can't save you. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it has been the stumbling block of their iniquity. As beauty, as for the beauty of his ornament, he set it in majesty. But they made the images of their abominations and their detestable things in it. Therefore have I made it to them as an unclean thing. And I will give it into the hands of the strangers for a prey, and to the wicked of the earth for a plunder. And they shall profane it. My face will I turn also from them, and they shall profane my secret place. And robbers shall enter into it and profane it, which they have, the temple of Yahweh. Make the chain, and the land is full of bloody crime, and the city full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the nation, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pride of the strong deceived, and their holy places shall be profaned. Destruction comes, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumor shall come upon rumor. And they shall seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest. What we saw in Malachi chapter 2. And the counsel from the elders. The king shall mourn, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation. And the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do to them after their way, and according to their desert will I judge them, and they shall know that I am Yahweh. See, submission to the kingdom is important because Yahweh is going to bring you to his knowledge. Whether you are seeking him for good or whether you are not. Because it says here, judgment's coming. You're going to know who Yahweh is. We want to be on the right side of that judgment. We want to be on the right side. That's why we have to judge ourselves now and submit to Yahweh's kingdom, because for us to get there, for us to enter, we have to be in submission to his covenant. We have to be keeping his way. And the key to that is love. We have to love one another. Because if we're not loving one another, we're not going to be there. We're going to be judged according to our way. And that is very evident in the Word. Before you close with a word of prayer, I want to know if there are any questions. Do I have questions this evening? Please write it down. Do you have a question? Oh, okay, I thought you I don't know what that little. Oh, just I thought you were trying to, you know, get my attention. Oh, you said daddy. Okay. That's good. No daddy issues. All right. If we don't have any questions, let's all rise and we'll have a closing prayer. Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, again we come before you, thanking and praising your name. We ask, Father, that as you are with us and we're in your presence during this high holy Sabbath day, that you would reveal yourself to your people, that you would touch their lives, that you would cause each one of us, Father, to have that experience that we're seeking before you. We ask, Father, that your will would be done each and every one of our lives, that you would forgive us for any sins that we might have committed against you. And we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless us and that your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who died for our sins, would help us as we seek to be submitted to your kingdom. We want to be there. As we have come here to keep your type of the kingdom of Yahweh, the Feast of Tabernacles, again, give us a great night's rest and raise us up in the morning, Father, that we might come together to worship you in spirit and in truth in our next session. We love you and thank you. Asking all these favors and blessings in the name of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, we pray. Hallelujah. I forgot to unmute those. They might have had a question. Did I miss any questions for those who are on the phone call? If so, we'll deal with it on Sabbath, okay? All right. Yahweh bless you. Have a good night. Shalom. So we'll see you tomorrow morning. So won't you stay?